South Dakota Public Broadcasting, sdpb.org.
Senate Ag Committee will come to order. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bradford.
Here.
Garnas.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Klochek. Maher.
Here.
Peterson. Peterson.
Here.
Valley.
Here.
Howie.
Here.
Roden.
Here. Quorum is present. I'd like to welcome you all to the House Ag Committee. Reminder, we are live via the internet, so all testimony and comments from the committee, I would request that they be given to a live microphone. If you plan on testifying today, there's a sign-up sheet at the door on the podium. We ask you to sign up. Reminder also that if you're here testifying on behalf of yourself, there's no requirements that you be registered. However, if you are representing a group, you need to be registered as a lobbyist with the Secretary of State and have the appropriate badge worn during testimony. We have, for our minutes, we have a correction to the minutes. Senate Bill 51 was in error and showed one no vote from Senator Klochek. He did, in fact, vote aye, as evidence that was on this consent calendar. So I would entertain a motion to correct the minutes. Motion by Senator Peterson, second by Senator Howard. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are so corrected. Any additional action on the minutes? Senator Howie.
Move approve.
Motion by Howie. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Garnos. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motions are so approved. We have two bills today, Senate Bill 40. It's been requested there's some additional work and to be done on Senate Bill 40, and I have agreed to defer that. We have a very light calendar. I think we only have one bill still left outstanding that assigned to this committee so far. We will expect more, but I have no reason to believe that we're going to have a problem getting through our bills this year. So we will defer action on Senate Bill 40. That will take us to Senate Bill 75, an act to allow dogs to be used in the hunting of mountain lions. Senate Bill 75 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and talk about an issue that is important in my life and is important in the lives of South Dakotans traditionally.
Could you give your name, rank, and serial number?
I'm not sure I can remember all that, but Gordon Howie, State Senator, District 30. Thank you. You know, I grew up with a hunting tradition in our family, and I think that's pretty typical for people across the state of South Dakota. And along with that is not just the enjoyment of the outdoors and the sport of hunting, but it's the engagement of family and friends and the perpetuation of a species. Those of us in South Dakota who enjoy the outdoors and wildlife, I think it's nearly everyone. And hunters are among some of the very best conservationists in this state. And currently, the mountain lion season in South Dakota has allowed for some degree of management of the species. And I don't know many people who want to or promote extermination of that species. I think most of us enjoy them and want to see the species perpetuated. And so I commend the Game Fish and Parks for the management that they've done. I think, though, in their effort to include everyone, that they, in fact, have become exclusionary on the mountain lion season. And, Mr. Chair, if I might, I'd like to have the page pass out a little bit of information.
And I'll use that as an opportunity to introduce our pages. We have Susanna Klocek from Scotland and Brielle Betzold from Siston. One of them's gone. This is Susanna Klocek. Any relation? You must have been adopted.
One of the...
Mr. Chairman, personal privilege?
Granted.
Mr. Chairman, I can attest Susie is the daughter of Richard and Nancy Klocek, and he even called me this morning to check up on her, so okay. She's doing a great job. We're very proud of her.
Thank you for the clarification.
Mr. Chairman, somehow I feel like my testimony sort of got shot in the foot there.
I'm sorry, Senator.
Am I at liberty to continue?
Yes, okay, sorry.
A large part of what I'm going to share with you this morning, and I won't be long, but a large part of what I'm going to share comes from people who have a love of hounds. And I just yesterday received a picture on my email of one of those houndsmen. I'm sharing it with you this morning. The name of this particular houndsman happens to be Shane Rolland Howie. And he's not a professional houndsman, as you can probably guess. But he's someone at this young age, while he couldn't come and testify to this morning, if he could, all I'd have to do would be to bring him in the door with his hound, and you would understand a great deal of the testimony that's going to take place today. Because he has a love for this animal. And in the practice of being inclusionary, making sure everyone has an opportunity, I just think the Game Fish and Parks has forgotten about a group of people, who happen to have a love for hounds. And I'm here speaking today in large measure on behalf of the houndsmen of South Dakota, not the least of which happens to be my grandson. I'd like to just read you just a few very brief excerpts from some of the letters that I've received from houndsmen who couldn't be here but asked me to read their testimony. The first one says he's been involved in or present during the harvesting over the years of 109 lions. And he goes on to say, Montana had a quota system, and in the early years, two females would shut down the 35 lion quota. And he goes on to say, head structure and vent identification were 100% accurate. Another one says, you can hunt a pheasant with without a dog, but nobody questions the fact that you'll secure more birds, bring more birds home if you have a dog. There's no exclusion, so we don't have a problem using dogs for the hunting of birds in this state. Another one says, I wonder if people that are hunting birds feel that it's unfair or not as sporting to use dogs. I just suggest to you that we embrace the use of dogs in hunting in this state. This gentleman says, I've seen well over 100 mountain lions put up a tree over the past 15 years of hunting, and not once have I witnessed a 5 or 6 month old cat taken. Some say that a mountain lion cannot be sexed that easily, even when seen from a treed point of view. Well, I would have to disagree with that. Colorado has a mountain lion identification course that can be seen online and that is very informative. Here's another that says, by looking over the last 4 years of the season evaluations put out by the GF&P, you can see that there are a lot of young cats taken and also a few females with kittens that either died or had to be transplanted to zoos. When you have cats that are 5 months old being taken, there's obviously something wrong with the system. The other reason that I've heard from commission is that if they allowed the use of hounds, it would be unfair to the ones who don't have hounds. With South Dakota being a pheasant state, how would it be if the Game and Fish said there would be no bird dogs allowed, and so on? And I think the two significant parts of my testimony this morning that I really want to make certain that I emphasize, one is inclusionary. That word is important because right now the policy is exclusionary. We've excluded a group of people who have a love of hunting and they use dogs, and we're excluding them. The second thing is accuracy. I think the testimony that I've heard as I've talked to people and read their emails, and these are seasoned hunting veterans, they tell me that identification of the size, of the gender, is incredibly good for someone who knows what they're doing. And, in fact, many of these guys are good enough that they can look at a track and tell you how old the cat probably is, whether it's a male or a female. And so with that, I think I'll conclude my testimony for now and stand by.
Thank you. Further proponents?
Representative Betty Olson, District 28B. I signed on to this because I've been getting some letters from some of the ranchers up in my country that own dogs and hunt in across the line into Montana, have had very successful hunts. And they have contacted me, said that if you get a mountain lion up a tree that you've chased with the dogs, you can tell if it's a female, you can tell if it's nursing, and that's the one that they're interested in not shooting. And this was just a protection for the hunter not to wind up shooting a nursing female and getting in trouble.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents? Are there other proponents?
Morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Michael Burt Demersman, and I'm here on behalf of myself, not as a lobbyist for any organization today. In the 1970s, I was involved in a lawsuit against a tourist zoo in the Black Hills. And the reason I was involved in that lawsuit is because there was a woman from Minnesota who came through this park with her family and in a Winnebago, and the window was open slightly. A mountain, and her child was jumping around and making fast movements and jumped on her lap. A mountain lion came through, slid the window open, took the child by the skull, crushed the motor cortex, and ended up between the mother and the grandfather. The grandmother grabbed a bread knife, stuck the cat three times over the left shoulder. She was a good country girl. She knew where to stab. The cat died on the mother's lap. The child had to have a plate put in the head and did make some amazing recovery. In that lawsuit, the expert, one of the experts was Morris Hornocker, who is the first professor that collared mountain lions and has written many monographs in National Geographic and other things concerning large cats. His testimony was that a mountain lion, whether it's raised by its mother or whether it's raised by human beings, it is innate behavior to go after a small, quick-moving cat, child, chicken, anything of this sort. The reason I think this bill is so important is because the dog hunting, I'm no special dog hunt, but it's efficient. Dog hunting of mountain lions is efficient, not only to identification, but when the animal is treed, it's very easy that the kill be clean. This is so important in population areas. approximately 5 weeks ago, going down to church in the evening, my neighbor came down and he said, "I can't believe what I just saw." And we're talking now about where the Rapid City Water Tower is south of town. He said, "I thought there were two deer. There was a deer dead." And he said, "We shined the lights on." And he said, "There was a mountain lion eating the deer." This is right in the city limits, at the top of the hill near the city limits in Rapid City. I went back the next day when it was daylight, and there wasn't a mountain lion, but there was a deer without any hindquarters. And this bill is important is because it is an efficient way of hunting. And it is an efficient way of controlling mountain lions where there is population. And if we don't control these mountain lions properly, it's not going to be a little poodle that's going to be taken sometime. It's going to be a child. So because this is an efficient way of hunting, I think I support this bill completely. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, we will close to opponents and open for opponent testimony. Senate Bill 75.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tony Life. I am Director of the Wildlife Division for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. To start out, I have to say that I could not agree more with Senator Howey's introductory comments about the value of hunting to this state, the great heritage that we have in this state for hunting, and the true value that is to our citizens. It's something that I wake up with in my mind almost every morning when I come to work, and it's something that motivates me to not only sit before you this morning, but to get up and work every day for the people of South Dakota, managing these, the wildlife that belongs to the citizens of the state. With that said, I come before you this morning to voice department opposition to this bill. We oppose Senate Bill 75 for two reasons. First, as it is currently offered, the current mountain lion hunting season offers a fair and equitable distribution of a very unique hunting opportunity to all residents of this state. And secondly, because of the high likelihood that we will encounter frequent problems associated with dogs and lion hunters trespassing on private land should this bill pass. To the first point, reality is that our current season structure is not exclusionary. It is inclusionary. All citizens of the state have that opportunity to hunt mountain lions in this state. It was back in 2005 when the Game, Fish, and Parks first implemented the mountain lion hunting season in South Dakota. It was at that time that there was considerable discussion on whether or not lion hounds should be allowed as a method of take. And I have to tell you, many individuals, including a number of our staff in the department, were very skeptical that we would be able to harvest any mountain lions without an allowance for the use of hounds. After hearing considerable testimony on the issue, the commission chose to adopt a season structure that did not include the use of hounds. In fact, they were prohibited. Much to the surprise of some individuals, we had a successful season despite the lack of allowance for hounds to be used. On average, the first three mountain lion hunting seasons in South Dakota have lasted around 3 weeks each. That is because an established harvest limit that is implemented for the season structure was reached before the season dates expired. What's been particularly interesting is that hunters have found very innovative ways to hunt mountain lions in South Dakota, and most notably, the most common technique has been the use of predator calls, deer fawn calls, and cow elk calls, and it's made for a very wonderful sport and a wonderful opportunity for these people to participate. Allowing hounds to be used might improve the hunt for a very select few, but it would greatly detract from the quality of the hunt for the majority of those that do choose to participate in this hunting seasons. Right now, you do not have to own a pack of dogs to have a realistic chance of pursuing and bagging a mountain lion in the state. Second point that I mentioned at the beginning of my comments is that there would be a high likelihood that we would encounter frequent problems associated with dogs and lion hunters trespassing on private property. Lion hounds that are dropped on a track, the lion hunters have no control on their hounds when they are released on that track. And I think, as all of you know very well, this state is a checkerboard of land ownership. Even in the Black Hills, where we have the established mountain lion hunting mountain lion population and the established hunting season, there is a checkerboard of public and private land. And the problems associated with these incidents of trespass will well outweigh any potential benefit of allowing lion hounds to be used during the season. I think it's important to maybe address a couple of the issues that Senator Howey read from the letters that he received. First, the issue of identification. It is true that lions that are in a tree are easier to identify. The ability of a lion hunter to identify those animals is not 100% accurate, and it does not result in taking of males only, or even a greater preponderance or a large proportion of males. The facts speak for themselves in this issue. Our closest state to the west, Wyoming, does allow the use of hounds in their lion hunting season, and almost all lions taken in Wyoming are taken with the use of hounds. The most recent figures I could find yesterday were from 2006, and in 2006, Wyoming mountain lion hunters harvested 186 lions. Of those 186, 102 were male and 84 were female. That's a 55-45% ratio. As you can see, the use of hounds may improve their ability to take those animals, but it does not ensure that male animals only will be taken. As to the point of where we allow dogs to be used in other seasons, in fact, I think using dogs for hunting is a very integral part of many other hunting seasons that we have in the state. They are, however, prohibited for use on any big game animal. You can't use a dog to hunt deer, which, by the way, is not the case in all states. There are states where hound hunting is legal. In fact, right now there's a debate going on in North Dakota over baiting a big game, which is something that's absolutely taboo and considered something we would never do in South Dakota, but in North Dakota they do that. When it comes to hunting with dogs, we allow the use of dogs to hunt upland game birds, waterfowl, and some of those other species because it's very important, or it really aids in the taking of those critters. What it does not do is inhibit the ability of any other hunter the opportunity to take those animals. Yes, if there were 10 hunters that go on a hunting for pheasants and they shoot 30 pheasants, there are 30 less pheasants that can be shot by the next hunter that comes along. But that season will last its duration regardless of the number of birds that are harvested with the use of dogs. In the case of mountain lions, we have a set harvest limit, and the use of hounds will excel the time period in which we reach that quota. So in other words, if you have 10 hound hunters that go out and take mountain lions, the taking of those lions themselves will contribute to an earlier closure of that hunting season because we'll reach the harvest limit sooner, and it will detract from the ability for all lion hunters to have that opportunity to be out there for that duration of that season that it would be open. You know, the bottom line here, gentlemen, is that we have a season structure that is working very well. It provides for a fair and equitable distribution of hunting opportunity for all state citizens. It is inclusionary for all state citizens. And I ask that you vote to kill this bill here in committee and retain the good thing that we have going here with our mountain lion hunting season in South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents?
Mr. Chairman, good morning.
Good morning.
Members of the committee, my name is Chris Hessler. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Wildlife Federation. We oppose this bill for two reasons. The first one being one thing called fair chase. We don't believe that after you've exhausted a mountain lion by chasing it with dogs and putting it up a tree and shooting it out of the tree is very sporting. The hunting tradition is much more of calling them in with predator calls or getting out and actually following the tracks of them as our forefathers did in the hundreds of years before. And the second reason is it opens up more trespassing violations. Every year there's several bills up here that deal with trespassing and increasing fines for trespassing and everything else. If this bill is passed, it's just going to create more problems of trespass against neighbor, or even just the dogs running loose against mountain lions with no control of them. I do know several landowners in the Black Hills that don't want people to hunt mountain lions on their land. And that's their right as a private property owner, that they shouldn't have to deal with uncontrollable dogs running across the countryside. Thank you.
Thank you. Further opponents? Are there any other opponents? Seeing none, we will give Senator Hawley a time for a brief rebuttal.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have another handout that I just got back here that I think you might find interesting.
Just bear in mind we're at rebuttal.
Okay. Oh, I'll try and be brief. And two things that we've talked about and we've heard testimony about is inclusion and trespass. And, you know, it's one thing to say that it includes everyone in the state. Yes, it does, but it specifically excludes people who have a long-held tradition of hunting with their dogs. The other issue I find kind of interesting that we've had quite a little bit of conversation about from the opposition is this issue of trespass. Now, the Game and Fish, when they testified, didn't mention another species that's hunted in South Dakota with the use of dogs. It's bobcats. And I have a letter that you have a copy of, and one of these houndsmen says he's talked to GF&P to see how much problem they have with houndsmen regarding trespass, and there doesn't seem to be much. Frankly, I haven't heard of any problem with houndsmen hunting bobcats and having trespass problems. And I would just suggest that maybe you haven't heard any problems either. And I think as significant an issue as trespass is in this state, there are two things that come to mind. One, if houndsmen were out there creating those kind of problems, hunting other cats, that we'd be hearing about it. And secondly, the legislation that we have passed and that we are reviewing or considering this year deals even more stringently with trespass. So we're holding everyone's feet to the fire when it comes to trespass. And, you know, to say we will have more problems with trespass, you know, I think it's a mistake for us to pass legislation or kill legislation based on a bundle of what-ifs. I think we need to deal with reality, and the reality is that I think if you let the facts speak for themselves, it'd be interesting to know how many kittens were harvested in Wyoming last year where they allow the use of dogs. I would suggest to you it's probably slim to none. So accuracy is important. Private property trespass is not going to be the huge problem that we've been led to think that it would be. Mr. Chairman, if I might, is it appropriate for me to offer an amendment to my bill at this time, or would you prefer that I wait?
As the prime sponsor, and as long as you're there, I would allow you that latitude.
Okay. Just to ensure, thank you very much, that we don't exclude people like me. I don't own hounds. I was tempted to bring you some other photos this morning, pictures of a mountain lion track that I was on earlier in the year, and then pictures several hours later of fat old man exhausted tracks when I finally found my truck again. I didn't bring those, but if you want to see them, I do have them on my computer. I'd like to amend this bill, and I think we've got an amendment that's being prepared to allow up to 10 tags to be used with hounds during the mountain lion season. If houndsmen took up to 10 hounds, they no longer can hunt with hounds during that season. So we just want to be included, not excluded. And I think houndsmen, as general rule, will do a much better job of harvesting the animals we really want to harvest.
So do you not have an amendment prepared?
It's being prepared as we speak.
Okay. What I have is to revise the material on lines, the underlined material on lines 5 and 6 so that it would read, however, of the licenses issued each year for the hunting of mountain lions, 10 of the licenses shall allow the use of dogs in hunting the mountain lions.
Okay. Did the committee, everybody hear that and understand it? Please.
We would revise the underscored material on lines 5 and 6 so that it would read, however, of the licenses issued each year for the hunting of mountain lions, 10 of the licenses shall allow the use of dogs in hunting the mountain lions.
So that language would be in addition to the underlined language on line 5 and 6?
No.
It would replace it.
That underlined, most of it would be replaced to read the way that I...
Okay. One more time, then, understanding that you're proposing to remove the existing language, the underlying...
The full text of the amendment would be on page 1, line 5 of the printed bill, delete everything after however, comma, and insert, of the licenses issued each year for the hunting of mountain lions, 10 of the licenses shall allow the use of dogs in hunting the mountain lions.
Okay. Everybody clear on that? And you move that amendment?
I do.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Senator Howey, second by Senator Garnos. Motion to amend. Comments on that motion? Senator Bradford.
Well, I have a little bit of problem with the fact that if we're out there hunting mountain lions and I'm the 11th guy with dogs, how am I going to know when the 10th one's been taken, and how are they going to enforce this? How do you know when they turned the mountain lion in who hunted with dogs and who didn't? I see some complications, and
I would respond just with the comment that currently we have the same situation currently when they have. There might be 20 people out hunting mountain lions when the maximum is hit, and they've dealt with that without any problems to this point. Further comments?
I just want, if I may, to follow that every morning before or every evening before you plan your next day's hunt in the mountain lion season currently, you check online and it says how many cats have been harvested. It'd be simple to just say, and so there are this many cats taken by hounds, this many without hounds, and it would not create a problem.
Senator Valley.
Thank you,
comments
Mr. Chairman.
Comments on the motion to amend.
I think I understood. At first I thought you were saying there'd be 10, as I'm understanding this amendment, only 10 licenses shall allow for the use of dogs. So we're not saying that the game fishing parks would have, let's say there's 35 licenses out there. There would be 25 then for regular hunting and only 10 licenses. And so when I got my license would say with dogs or without dogs. But that's not how you're looking at it. You want to have it state that there's 35 licenses and 10 lions can be taken with dogs. I'm confused. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the game fish and parks could say there are 35 licenses out there and there are 10 with dogs. Now you apply for one or the other, and if you get one with dogs, then that's your license, and then the other 25 are without. The other way, and I thought that's what this was going to do, but as I'm understanding it now, you're saying there'll be 35 licenses and people can hunt all they want, but you've got to say if you got yours with dogs or not. Is that correct? I'm just trying to understand what you're trying to envision.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I may. Currently, I think there are, I don't have the exact numbers, but I think there are about 1,200 tags or something like that. There are, I mean, there are a lot of people who buy mountain lion tags. And every time there's a mountain lion harvested, that hunter is responsible to report to the Game, Fish, and Parks and have it checked. And so there wouldn't be a need for a special class of license. It would be just if I apply for my license, I get the license just like all of you would get it. And then if I am successful in harvesting a cat, then I simply take that cat to the Game, Fish, and Parks for check-in. They check off whether it's whether I hunted with dogs or whether I didn't, and add it to the appropriate column.
Thank you.
So it really it becomes truly inclusionary rather than a limited tag for anybody.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let's answer it differently. Conceivably, it could be possible then that on day one of the hunting season, everybody could be hunting with dogs. Is that right? The 10 is triggered by not when you go out to look for your cat. It's when you get your cat and you bring it into Game Fish and Parks for checking off the rosters. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman. Yes, that's accurate. So the season remains, in that sense, just like it is today. There's really no limit on the number of tags that can be sold, and so there wouldn't be any limit on the number of people at on a given day that would be hunting with dogs, but a very well-ordered limit on how they're taken.
Further questions on the motion to amend? Yes.
The way that I wrote that amendment, it was written in committee here, I think it goes with what Senator Valley had said first. There would be 10 tags issued for hunting. I think I can write it the way that you're talking
would
about.
Would you please?
Would something to the effect of, however, of the mountain lions harvested each year, 10 may be harvested with the use of dogs? That would...
I would be happy with that. I think it does what I'm suggesting, Mr. Chairman.
If you're agreeable to that change, the second, I believe, is Senator Garnos. Do you agree to that change? Committee, everybody understand that? Everybody comfortable? Further comments on the motion to amend? Seeing none, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Aye.
Motion carries. Senate Bill 75 is so amended. Thank you, Senator Howey. We will move now to questions from the committee. I believe I'll start, Mr. Leaf. I get a couple questions for you. It seems that maybe, you know, as you think about the problems created, I think it sounds pretty legitimate as far as trespassing. Wyoming, however, has currently... They do quite a bit of hound hunting for mountain lions, correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
There's a fair amount of real estate in the Black Hills that lies in Wyoming, so would I be correct in assuming that there's mountain lion hunting in the Black Hills on the Wyoming side?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I'm just, you know, that's a pretty good microcosm of what we're dealing with, and I don't recall ever seeing any issue on the Wyoming side in the Black Hills as far as huge problems with trespassing. Would you care to comment to whether you have any knowledge of big issues that have been come forward as a result of hound hunting of mountain lions on the Black Hills of Wyoming?
Mr. Chairman, I have not had the opportunity to visit directly with some of those folks recently on what the problems are. Of course, we just became aware of this bill with a few days ago and haven't had the opportunity to investigate the frequency of the problems that they do have in Wyoming with that.
Okay. I don't know what the question is in this other than maybe just asking if you wish to comment. You know, the trespassing issue, I think I've been trying to reconcile some of the things, the comments about trespassing from your perspective, because the game, fish, and parks, by policy and by supportive legislation, has supported the legal trespass, guaranteed trespass that happens commonly involved with road hunting. Is that not true?
I believe state statute allows for an individual to essentially trespass, yeah, in a civil sense, to enter to private property to pick up animals that were harvested legally from the road right-of-way. There are no provisions in statute nor in policy that we have that allows any individual to hunt another person's property without their permission.
Granted, and I don't mean to argue with you, but in the case of road hunting, that's not a possible trespass. That's a guaranteed trespass, is it not?
Mr. Chairman, to distinguish, it is not a criminal trespass. State statute says that it is not.
A change in statutes that the department supported, did they not?
I was not in my current position at that time, so I can't speak knowledgeably about a position that we took on that.
Thank you. Further questions? Senator Garnos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Leaf, a couple of questions. This helps me out in terms of, you know, when the dogs are tracking the cats, I'm assuming they're wearing GPS, the dogs are. I mean, this can happen for miles, stretch out. Give me a little background in terms of the distances the dogs will travel in terms of putting a cat up in a tree, so I can just get a little idea there. And how are the dogs kept track of? Is it a GPS system by the owner?
Mr. Chairman. Senator Garnos, I can't say that I can speak very knowledgeably about the process or how the hunt occurs. We do have line hounds in our agency, and I can tell you that we are very selective of where we use those hounds to take out lions that are in a place that they're not supposed to be. If you have a situation where you can get right on that track, you can get that lion up a tree in very short order with not much time at all. I also hear stories from my staff that have told me where they've gone over hill, over dale, and gone for miles and miles trying to catch up with those hounds because once they get on a track, they're going to run it until they either lose it or they put that lion up a tree or in some type of that bay area. And I do believe some of the houndsmen do utilize some current technology to monitor those animals or their dogs when they're running, but obviously they lose control on those animals once they're released and off on a track.
May I have a follow-up question?
Senator Garner.
Thank you. And this is, to me, maybe even a bigger issue here in terms of, you know, using the dogs. But, you know, the numbers, I mean, we've heard from Mr. Demersman today, you know, the animal being real close to the city of Rapid City. And I've also heard other anecdotal evidence that, you know, if someone's out hunting elk, for example, or turkey, and they see a mountain lion, that could be a possible sign that there are too many of them out there. I mean, if you're hunting something else, and I mean, the cats are very seclusive and secretive, but they're seeing them in the Black Hills in terms of numbers when maybe they're not normally seen in places like on the edge of Rapid City or when somebody out is turkey hunting. So just give me a little more background in terms of, I mean, to me that might be a bigger issue here, the number that are actually out there.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Garnos, if I understand your question or comment correctly, it has to do with the population level that we have in the Black Hills. And I can tell you, of all the populations of animals that we have in the state, we know no more of any animal than we do of mountain lions. We invest a great deal in our ability to manage and monitor those populations. I'm sure you're probably well aware that our mountain lion population has been hunted for, this is the fourth year, and some of the data that we are collecting is aiding us a great deal in our ability to be able to estimate the number of lions that we have in the Black Hills. And we have been able to refine that number as we've gone along over the last few years. Whether there's too many, not enough, somewhere just right, that's a matter of opinion, I think, varies by each individual that you talk to. But I can tell you that we as an agency are committed to responsible management of that wildlife population, that mountain lion population. the people of South Dakota support having a sustainable mountain lion population in the Black Hills, and we have a management plan and a management strategy to have that sustainable population while attempting to afford some control over it by use of the current hunting season.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question. On line 14, it says, no person may harvest a mountain lion with a spotted coat kitten. Could you tell me what the penalty is for killing the kitten?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bradford, I cannot tell you what the fine is. I don't have the bond schedule in front of me for taking that illegal animal. So I could get that to you, but there is a penalty. There would be a penalty should that happen knowingly. If I might, Mr. Chairman, I could add to some of the previous discussion on that, if it's all right with you, Senator Bradford, because there have been a couple of younger mountain lions that were harvested during this season. I believe they're around 6 months old. And once you get those animals in hand, you can see that there are some spotting on those. I can also tell you that two-year-old mountain lions also have spotting on them. On the underside, lots of times it's streaking. Sometimes it could be barred. And you could easily interpret, you know, that marking to be a spotted animal. This is a case where our officers use a great deal of common sense. You know, if these particular 6-month-old animals did have some spotting on them, but that you could not detect that from the distance at which those animals were shot, and so they were deemed to be legally taken animals, because, you know, any sense of reasonableness would tell you that those hunters harvested those animals in good faith with compliance with the laws and rules that we have.
Further questions? Senator Howey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Life, I appreciate your testimony about the game and fish being selective about where they turn out the hounds, and I don't know of any instance where the GF&P hounds have created any problems. I don't think you would suggest that the houndsmen of South Dakota would be any less responsible than game fish and parks. And so in view of that, I guess I'm just going to ask you a question. The other cat that is allowed, we allow the use of dogs to hunt, is the bobcat. Can you tell me of any problems that you had with trespass in the taking of bobcats with hounds?
Mr. Chairman, to the first part of your question, Senator Howey, I do have some control over policies that we have with the usage of our own dogs. I would not, with the average houndsman, and I hate to be put in a position of predicting what they would and would not do in the course of their hunting. That would have to be a judgment for them to make on their own. To the second part of your question, the use of bobcats or the use of hounds for hunting bobcats, you are correct. That is a legal means of take bobcats in South Dakota. I don't have the statistics on it, but I think it's in the ballpark of about 10% of 800, 900 bobcats that are taken in the state are taken with the aid of dogs. Again, don't hold me to those numbers. That's going off of my best memory right now. I understand. My staff have told me that since mountain lions have become as prominent as they are in the Black Hills, that very few bobcat hunters hunt with dogs in the Black Hills anymore. The problem is every time they're dumping their dogs, they're running a lion up a tree, and it's very difficult. Those dogs don't know the difference between a bobcat and a lion. They strike the first trail, and they follow it. So as I understand it, bobcat hunting with use of dogs in the Black Hills is greatly inhibited because of their inability to be able to target the animal they're after.
Further questions? Senator Valley.
Since you do have some experience with your department hunting with dogs, only thing I know about hunting with dogs is pheasant hunting, and I do know that people that have good trained dogs, when they get too far out of range, they whistle or yell, or if they don't mind, they got a little button they push, and they usually come home. do you do the same thing with hounds, or are once they're on a run and you see them going across a fence and into someplace else you don't want them, can you do you push a button and they drop the chase and come home like they do on pheasants, or do they, it's a done deal?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Valley, I too have one of those buttons that assists me in my hunts, and it's very valuable, especially at my age. I'm unable to chase them down like I used to, maybe when I was younger. You know, I can't speak for, again, with entire certainty about how all this operates, but the key component when you're using a correction collar or a training collar on an animal is that it has to know what it's doing wrong before you give them the button. That's the first thing you learn when you get one of those things. And I would doubt that lion hunters that have their dog chasing a lion on a trail would be able to trigger that message without hampering the future ability of that dog to run. See, that dog doesn't know that that fence that it just crossed is a different piece of property. All it knows is it's got a nose full of lion scent right now, and I'm going to go. And if that correction factor was triggered, I believe that would be detrimental to the use of those animals.
Further questions? One more, Senator Bradford.
Just what's the limit on the number of mountain lions?
We, Mr. Chairman, Senator Bradford, there is no limit on the number of licenses that may be sold.
Take in mind.
Okay. And currently the harvest limit that we have established, or that the commission established this past summer, is that no more than 35 mountain lions may be harvested, or no more than 15 female mountain lions may be harvested during the season.
Thank you.
Just to follow up, has that been completed every year?
Mr. Chairman, it has to date. We have, in past years, met that harvest limit in, on average, 3 weeks. The current mountain lion hunting season, 2009, has been open for, I guess, almost a month now. To date, the last I checked, we had 11 male and 11 female mountain lions harvested for a total of 22 so far.
Thank you. Further questions? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick one. What percentage of the mountain lions are outside of the Black Hills?
Mr. Chairman, to our knowledge, we have no sustainable population of mountain lions outside of the Black Hills. We do have individual animals that are dispersing from the Black Hills. They travel great distances. I don't know if any of you even read about some of the news this past summer about a mountain lion that originated from the Black Hills and showed up all the way in Illinois. In fact, it was, I believe, taken by a police officer in downtown Chicago. They're very mobile animals. They do spread across the state, and on occasion, do get themselves into a spot where they're in conflict and are taken out.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Peterson.
I'll follow up, if I may, on that. I want your definition of sustainable, because my son has a ranch that's about 10 miles south of Buffalo, South Dakota, and I have been on that different times and seen mountain lions and even a female with kittens on that ranch, and it seems to me if there's a breeding population up there, it's sustainable.
Mr. Chairman, I would agree. I would agree that if there is a breeding population, that is sustainable, and that is the term that I maybe should have used, was a breeding population. If there is a breeding population outside of the hills, I'd be interested in sending some staff in to investigate that, because that would aid in our future management if that is true.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, we will move to committee discussion and or action. Senator Howey.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the latitude that you've given me in this hearing, and I know we spent a lot of time on this. If it's appropriate, I'd like to move do pass.
Motion by Senator Howey, do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Maher. Comments on that motion? Just by way of reminder to the committee before we move on, it's my policy that I do not allow preparatory remarks to precede a motion. Senator Howey did not, per se, make any remarks in regard to the contents of the bill, but just as for a future reminder, that's how I like to run things. Comments on the motion, Senator Howie?
Thank you. Well, I think we've had an adequate discussion. I just simply add that when we talk about trespass, I personally find it ironic that the agency who's screaming potential trespass is the agency that many of us in this state believe is the proponent of some of the most egregious trespass, and that is the open fields doctrine. And so while that's not a parcel of this bill, many of us view that as trespass, and I don't think this bill creates any trespass issues.
Further comments on the due pass motion, Senator Bradford.
Well, I don't know how many of you have hunted with dogs, but I have, and I've hunted bobcats with dogs. And let me tell you something, when them babies got loose on us in the Badlands, I was running in that deep of snow, and the guy with me was way better shape than me, and both of us, we never seen them when they got the bobcat. Now, we several times had them tear a young kit, tear it to pieces before we ever got there. So I know for a fact that, and we had no electronic, and the average dog hunter doesn't have electronic. Now, I don't disagree with the fact that they should hunt with dogs, but I think they ought to be able to control them. Maybe that ought to be a part of this, that they are able to control them. I mean, I know for a fact that dogs, once they get out of your reach, and hey, fellas, these dogs, they aren't kid dogs by no means. They're hunting dogs. They hunt for a purpose.
Further comments on the motion, the due pass motion? Any other comments? Well, I will make a couple closing comments. In the opponent testimony, there were, as I remember, there were 2 points of contention brought forward by the opponents. First, the exclusionary nature of this bill and the trespass. As far as being exclusionary, I think that was obviously addressed through the amendment to place a limit on the number of tags where dogs were allowed to use. As far as the trespass, I don't know that that's a legitimate concern. I know that there's a potential for problems, but we have a very good example of what to expect by the way of problems, and that's the fact that the South Dakota-Wyoming border cuts right through the Black Hills, and so there's a great deal of evidence. And I would submit that given all the attention that surrounds the mountain lion hunting issue in South Dakota and the Black Hills, that if there were problems with mountain lion hunting in the Black Hills in Wyoming as a result of using dogs, that would be very evident, and it's not. So I believe that argument holds little water in this discussion, and for that reason I intend to support the motion. I believe that it's reasonable, and I think that it merits at least discussion in the full Senate. Senator Bradford, did you have something you need to add?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't appreciate your jolliness while I was coming. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Bradford, I'm not totally aware of what that is. If I did something that you thought was disrespectful, I apologize. Any other comments? The motion then is due pass Senate Bill 75 as amended. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Bradford?
No.
Garnos?
Aye.
Hansen?
No.
Klocek?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
There's 8 ayes, 2 nays.
Motion passes. Senate Bill 75 goes to the Senate floor, due pass as amended. That ladies and gentlemen, is the end of today's calendar. Again, we deferred action on Senate Bill 40. Are there any announcements? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Senator Howey, seconded by Senator Valley. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned.